Did you miss our Navigating the Dry Start webinar we held back in mid-June? As part of the session, we spoke to a number of experts on how to manage crops in a dry start. We were joined by local agronomists Jeff Braun and Peter Baird and pulse expert Penny Roberts. But one of the key themes was how do we manage weeds with a dry, late break? So we're taking you to our session with Dr. Chris Preston, Professor of Weed Management at Adelaide Uni, to cover the key considerations, especially with grass control, when heading into this season. Take a listen. All right, Chris, over to you. Weed management is one of the key hard things that we're going to be dealing with that comes from a dry season start, a late break. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big question going forward as to what do we need where. Probably the best thing about the season from a weed management issue, particularly around the grass weeds, is because it's been completely dry on the surface. And then when we do, some people have had enough rain to germinate weeds, some haven't. But when the weeds come up, they're going to come up in a much less extended germination than normal. So they're going to come up closer together. And I think the benefit of that is if we've got our pre-emergent herbicide strategy right, that's actually going to do a lot of the heavy lifting for us this year. Where we do have the right pre-emergent herbicides in the mix, we're probably going to find that we won't have major issues, particularly with weeds like ryegrass, probably more so with weeds like brome and to a lesser extent, barley grass are going to be more troubling for us. So that's probably the good bit. If the pre-emergent herbicide strategy hasn't actually dealt with those weeds up front, that's going to make, I think, the in-crop control really challenging because we've got two things happening, one of which is that we're going to get a bit of staggered emergence and variation in growth, and that's going to make it a little bit more difficult to be able to pick timings for herbicides for crop safety. So I think the rule of thumb around these things is to go when it's safe for the crop as much as you can. Even if you've got a situation where, you know, some of the crop's at the right stage and some's not, maybe holding back just to let some of that crop catch up, to put some of those post-emergent herbicides on might be something we can do. One of the problems we're going to have, of course, in a season like this, as Jeff pointed out, is our lack of competition. That's not going to help us. That's going to be not so much of a problem for barley, but much more of a problem for wheat. We would like to pair up our pre-emergent herbicides with wheat with some good crop competition. We're not going to see as much of that this year. On to moving on to strategies around grass weeds. I think brome in particular, the guys who've got clearfield crops in, it's probably going to be a year when they're going to use their Inovicts in those crops because there's probably going to be few other options to get brome. For barley grass, it's probably more of a little bit of a mixed bag because we've got better pre-emergent herbicides for barley grass. So if they've tidied up the barley grass, we probably won't be getting a lot of that late barley grass. And so you might be able to get away without having to put that Inovicts out, depending a bit on how weed population goes. So I think monitoring is a real key going forward for this year. I think one other thing that's really come up this year with dry sowing has been people have sown so early, and there's been a lot of questions about the persistence of the pre-emergent herbicides and are they still going to be there? The main answer I'm going to give is that mostly they will. The places where we're going to run into trouble are going to be if really low persistence products are being used, things like Boxer Gold, for example, or where incorporation's being a problem. One of the problems with dry seeding is actually getting incorporation right. And so if you put trifluralin out and the incorporation has been pretty ordinary, you might find that you've actually lost a fair bit of that trifluralin by the time the weeds start to come up. So mostly okay, there'll be some occasions where it will be a bit troublesome for us and we'll probably end up with more weeds than we expect. So I think that in the what to do immediately, I think it's the big challenge is going to be, I know Peter mentioned this, I think the big challenge is going to be where we'd normally have a program where crops would be up at a variety of times. That's going to be much more compressed this year. Being able to get over the country with products is going to be so much more difficult for growers. So I think being really well organized, knowing what weed problems you've got in which paddocks, what your crop stage is so you can prioritise the paddocks to spray them at the right crop stage so you don't get crop damage, I think these things are really going to come to the fore this year. So it's doing those extra little bits around weed control are going to be really important.
So I just want to unpick that prioritising paddocks for spraying a bit more, because potentially we're looking at every single paddock being ready at the same time with the same growth stages and the same issues. So yeah, you're talking about using crop growth stage as the first indicator. Where do we go to after that? Then we're looking at weed burden or the type of weed.
I think you're looking at a combination of what are your troublesome weeds and what your weed burden is. If you've got some weeds that you find it really hard to control on your place, they don't need to be in such a high number for you to make that decision. I've got to go now before they get any bigger. So it's just weighing up all of those pieces of information and making that decision. And I think this is where you've really got to know where your crop stage is on the variety of soil types you've got in your paddock, because it might be different on the rises compared to down on the flats, for example. But also knowing where your weeds are going to be really important, and checking the stage of the weeds. I've talked to a couple of consultants already this year who told me they're doing actually a lot of digging around in paddocks just to see what the weeds are doing on these little bits of rainfall we've been getting. Can they find weeds germinating under the surface? So they're trying to get ahead of the game by trying to work out what the weeds might be doing and when they've got to go back and look again. So I think it's going to be a busy time, but I think doing that monitoring is really going to help you to get your paddock ordered for spraying.
Yep. Now, we did some herbicide resistance testing with some of the Milawa guys, and we've de-identified where those paddocks have come from. But based on some of the results you're seeing, are you happy to go through that and the implications of that in a dry start too? Because there was some resistance come back in ryegrass to a number of different herbicides. So that just adds an extra layer of complexity.
Yeah, I think that looking through the results, and I'll probably start with the good sides of it first, nothing was resistant to 500 mils of clethidine. I think that that's something that if you've got some legumes in the system, you can go with a level of confidence on. If your clethidine's still working pretty well, what that allows you to do is to push out your spray a bit. And so instead of trying to go and kill two-leaf ryegrass, which is what we prefer around clethidine, you can go to letting them get into that early tillering, even sometimes a little bigger than that, and still pick them up reliably with clethidine. So that is an opportunity for you. So clethidine's really working. You've got pulses in your system. You can, in a way, you can decide, I can put that clethidine on later than I might normally do and still get that weed control I need. The next one I'm going to talk about is a group one verdict. And this had a little bit of resistance in about half the paddocks. And I think this is a case of really knowing where you're sitting, because this gives you another opportunity in your pulse crop. You can choose to go with the clethidine, or if you've got some barley grass and brome grass, you might want to choose to go with verdict instead. You can always, if you want to, mix verdict and clethidine, but that's going to add to the cost. And I think it's going to be a year where perhaps we want to try and trim some of our costs where we can. Then gets to the bad news. The thing we expect from surveying in the Mallee is that pretty much all the ryegrass is resistant to Intervix, and all of these samples except one had high levels of resistance to Intervix. So this means that in your clearfield crops, it's not going to get your ryegrass. You have to have another control method for ryegrass. So clearfield for brome grass, absolutely. We know there's a little bit of brome resistance around. We're picking up some more, but that's moving really slowly. And I've got some ideas about why that is, but I think we've got a few more applications on brome we do on ryegrass, for example, or even barley grass. I'm quite comfortable in this year. If brome's coming up, you've got a clear field crop in. Yeah, Intervix is going to be your product of choice. For ryegrass, you need to have had some other strategies. And basically for wheat and barley, if you haven't done it now, we're going to find this really hard, because it's pre-emergence have really got to control ryegrass in those crops. We've got some early posts, but the trouble with early posts is we need rain on them. The guys in the more reliable rainfall zones can make these work time and time again. It's so much harder in the Mallee, where you don't get those decent rainfall events necessarily in season. So I think that moving forward around this is to understand that in clearfield crops, Intervix is not going to pick up ryegrass. You must have a good pre-emergent herbicide strategy for ryegrass there. Probably the one that's the most future worrying one, but perhaps not for this year so much, has been glyphosate resistance. Quite high levels of resistance to glyphosate, even to 2 litres of glyphosate. So we're talking about this is some pretty serious resistance here. Our only use we might have with glyphosate this year is going to be around crop topping. And so we can deal with this by, in the pulse phase, switching out to paraquat for crop topping rather than using glyphosate. Jeff earlier talked about crop topping on barley. You've got to use glyphosate for that. You might find it doesn't work as well as you expect if you have some of that glyphosate-resistant ryegrass in there. So that'll be something that will happen. There's not anything we can do about it now. It's going to be a plan for next year. And the good thing is that most people haven't used any glyphosate prior to sowing this year, so we're not actually selecting for more resistance at the moment, but we will have to deal with this in future years. And so that's going to be looking at options, the double knock, looking at other knockdown options that we might have in years where we need a knockdown. But one of the things that we're starting to move to deal with some of the glyphosate resistance is where we get the opportunities to actually try and sow early and sow dry with good pre-emergent herbicides, so you can avoid that knockdown on ryegrass altogether. So there are some strategies. They're all going to be a little bit more complicated than we've had in the past around that glyphosate resistant space. And after not being too worried because we had most of the things that we needed to do around glyphosate resistance, farmers have been doing them for around about 15 years now. We're now starting to see that with the march of time, more and more glyphosate resistance coming in, and we're probably going to have to build a few more things for farmers. And I think particularly farmers in these lower rainfall environments where it can be a little bit harder to do some of the other things that we've been doing. One of our strategies for glyphosate resistance management has been how we manage weeds on fence lines, and that gets rather more difficult in the Mallee than it is in the areas where you're at less risk of soil erosion. Strategies have to be different. So that's I think that kind of sums up the resistance for pre-emergent next year. There's a little bit of trifluralin resistance. Some paddocks are worse than others, but trifluralin plus Advetix seems to have worked really well. And this is something that we found in the mid-north when we first got trifluralin resistance, that just going to trifluralin plus Advetix was probably the best, cheapest first option. And then we got on to using herbicides like Sakura, Boxer Gold, and now Overwatch, and so on. With the prices coming back on the pyroxasulfones, they're going to become a lot more attractive in the future in the Mallee. It's just we've got to have rain to make them work. So we might want to think about differently about how we're using that in a Mallee situation compared to what we've traditionally done, say, in the mid-north. So that, I think, pretty much covers what my thoughts are on that, Tanya. Excellent. Unless you've got some more questions.
I've got a couple of quick questions. Penny talked about the importance of really looking after legume crops early, particularly in a late break. Which herbicides and or strategies do we need to be mindful of in this situation?
It depends a bit on your crop, but I think with lentils, the answer is pretty much all of them, which is just one of the functions of lentils. Really hardy for drought tolerance, but they're a bit of a sook when it comes to herbicides. And I think it's just about really making sure that you're not putting products on where you've got the biggest chance of damage. And metribuzin might be one that you might think carefully about. Do I need to apply it? Have I got other choices? I know that, and again, we're past that pre-seeding stage, but quite a bit of reflex went out for lentils because of the potential risk in a dry seeding start. But I think your other opportunity is to maybe change up when you're putting clethidium out and trying to put it out just that little bit later so that you get less effect on the lentils than trying to put it out early. I know every other year I talk about putting out clethidium early. I think this might be the year where in lentils, we might just want to put it out a little bit later and try and just make sure we're not going to damage the crop as much.
Okay. Yep. I do have a question here. The best tank mix to use Sakura in the Milawa?
There's a couple of thoughts around that. There are two really good tank mixes with Sakura. One is Sakura plus trifluralin, and that actually makes quite a good dry sowing herbicide as well. The issue we have with Sakura is that if you don't get enough moisture on it, it doesn't activate. And if you've already got moisture in the ground, that might get your weeds moving. That's not actually a problem with Treflan or trifluralin. So that makes a good mixer. But if you've got trifluralin resistance already, that becomes less useful. And there I go for Sakura plus Advetix as being probably the best option altogether. It's probably better for normal use than Sakura plus trifluralin. Sakura Plus Trifluidin be better in a dry sowing situation. And it works in a range of rainfall situations. So it does protect you if you do get plenty of rain on it. You don't end up with issues of crop damage or the products being washed down below the root zone. They're your best choices. Everything else that we've done with mixtures with Sakura tends to be either not quite as good or increases your risk of crop damage. And I think this year, one of the things we want to perhaps steer away from is getting into situations where we might increase our risk of crop damage. Crops are going to come up late enough as it is without us causing damage to them.
The follow-up question to that was, how much moisture does Sakura need?
The good thing is Sakura needs about as much moisture as you need to get ryegrass to germinate. So we're talking 10 to 15 mils over a couple of weeks is about what you need if you're going from a completely dry start. So we did some, in the early days, did some trials around this where we were looking at if we had moisture in the ground or if we had no moisture in the ground. If we had moisture in the ground and we didn't get rain on Sakura, it was always as good as it could have been. If we had no moisture in the ground, we really had a problem.
My next question revolves around crop sequences, a little bit about people having to swap out from, say, a legume and going to a cereal this year. We're already planning on doing grass control with that legume crop and we missed that opportunity. I guess what are the implications or how many more years of grass control we're going to have to look at when we're moving into the next crop sequence? We're obviously building a problem instead of getting on top of one.
Yeah, I think this is then comes down to how you actually manage that cereal you've moved in. And Jeff talked about Clearfield barley and crop topping as being how he was thinking about making that work in the system so you still got your grass weed control. So if you've done that, if you've got an opportunity where you can still get your grass weed control with that cereal, then you really haven't done yourself much harm in terms of your grass weed problems for the future. Issue that might arise is that if you made that switch out, but you haven't actually set the crop up. So if you put in a non-clear field barley, you haven't had anything up front in terms of a pre-emergent herbicide, or you just put a minimalist pre-emergent herbicide up front, that's, I think, where we're going to find ourselves in a bit of bother, particularly things like Brome, building those numbers. It'll probably take 2 years to bring those down, and how hard that's going to be depends on what the spring looks like. So if we have a pretty tough year all round, we're not actually going to build those numbers very quickly. But if we have a reasonable spring and some of those later germinating weeds actually get to set a fair bit of seed, that's, I think, where we can really cause ourselves some issues for the future. So having switched out of a break crop into a cereal, I think now's the time to really be, well, before you're getting to the end of the year, it's time to really be thinking about, what am I going to do in the future in that paddock to bring my numbers back? So presumably that means getting back into a legume next year where you've got multiple opportunities to get ryegrass. But then what happens after that? Because you're going to need another year to do that. For Brome, we need 2 really good years of control. For ryegrass, we need 2 really good years of control. For barley grass, 1 really good year and 1 year where it's okay seems to be enough. So the different weeds, it's slightly different, but we're looking at 2 years back to back with good control. How do we do that, having let things slip this year? So that's around the choice of crops that you might want to have in your sequence, the choice of technology you might want to put in your sequence so you can get these crops, these weeds. Depends on the weeds that you've got, which ones are really causing the most trouble as to which ones you really want to focus on. But they're decisions that need to be made for next year. But you probably need to make those decisions early so you can plan and have everything in place. But you need to have a second year after that. And I think that's the bit where in the past, farmers have fallen down is they've done 1 year afterwards, really good control. Then they think that everything's fine and they've taken the pressure off and the weeds have come back again. If we get a big weed seed set, we do need to make sure we run that down for 2 years.
All right, that's really good. And my final question is similar to the one you just answered. So looking at the grass weed behavior later in a season, I know it's probably dependent on what happens with the spring, but with a late germination of grass weeds, are we expecting different behavior in terms of seed set going into spring?
Probably the biggest thing that we would expect is that if nothing's different from here on from a normal year, that we'd probably have less seed set in spring. things can change, that if we have a slightly better spring than normal, we'd like to have a lot more seed set, because one of the problems we've got is that we're going to lose a lot of our crop competition. So that part of the equation is not working, going to work for us this year. And we would be then dependent upon what we can do late. So can we crop top and help us out that way? Or what are we going to do next year to manage that? I think the thing that we've been worried about for a long time, which has been these grass weeds coming up later and causing us problems because they've got increased dormancy, we're probably not going to see so much of that expressed this year because everything's late. So we'll probably see that a little bit compressed. And that, I think, is going to be good in some ways, particularly for crop topping, because it will tend to bring the seed set of all our weeds closer together. It'll give us more of an opportunity to get crop topping right. The other aspects are really dependent on what happens in spring. And if it stays reasonably dry, then there's not going to be too much of an issue. If it becomes wet, then I think we could find ourselves facing a fairly big grass problem the next year if we can't get the management in place this year.
And it's something that we will definitely be following along with all of our groups. We have a few RiskWise groups running, one in the Miller, one in New South Wales, several in the northern, southern SA Mallee. So we're really looking forward to catching up with growers once things have come up properly, have a few early crop walks. And I think weeds will definitely be on the agenda, and we'll keep talking about it and keep an eye on what sort of management we need to think about going forward. Some really good advice from Chris. It'll be a bit of a watch and wait now to see how the rest of the season turns out. But we encourage all our MSF members to stay in touch with us, attend some of our events, and we will keep you posted on what we're seeing in the field and make sure we keep talking to the experts to give you the latest information. This project, Building Drought Resilience, Vulnerable Soils and Low Rainfall Cropping and Grazing Systems, is supported by the Mallee Catchment Management Authority through funding from the Australian Government's Future Drought Fund. Thanks for joining us. If you want to hear more, like and subscribe to the MSF Farm Talk podcast. Catch you later.